Blog Talk Radio.
When the night has come and the land is dark and the moon is the only light we'll see. No, I won't be afraid. Oh, I won't be afraid. Just as long as you stand by me. By me. If the sky that we look upon should tumble and fall, or the mountain should crumble to the sea, I won't cry, I won't cry, no, I won't shed a tear, just as long as you stand by me. And darling, darling, stand by me. Oh, stand by me. Oh, stand now. Stand by me.
Greetings, everyone. It's your host, Brother Drew S., calling off that Black Nation Task Force Radio. Tonight, we'll be speaking with the mayor of Jonesboro, Louisiana. Let's do the first thing first. Go to the Creator in prayer, to the Creator, a male and female, to the Creator who created the heavens and the earth. We ask for your guidance, your wisdom, and your protection. And to our Black Creator, we always ask you to punish all our enemies. We say Black Power on that. All right, let me go to the phone lines. See if our guest on with us, 318, Mayor Thompson, is that you?
Yes, 318, that's Mayor Thompson, Jonesboro.
All right, we're glad to have you on with us tonight to be in your presence and, another brother serving the people, so we want to see what's going on in your town, Mayor Thompson, and the whole Black Nation going to be on with us tonight. Also waiting on our national spokesman for the Black Nation Task Force, Nancy Lockhart, to call in. She's also worked with the attorneys that you're working with. So, Mara, let us know, before we go into what's going on in the town, let's find out a little information about you yourself. We know you was elected, what, in 2008?
2007. I was reelected at the end of 2010, and so I'm acting into my second term as we speak. I was the first African American to be elected this capacity. And we have had our hands full with the conservative right wing, those who have opted to make it their business to let it be known to us that they are not willing to accept us being here. Having been elected, and I'll say I'm a graduate from Southern University, Baton Rouge, in the area of political science. I actually served 15 years as public servant as a police juror serving as a representative of the parish before I came over to the municipality. I served about 15 years as a legal redress committee chairman for the NAACP legal redress. And so we've been fighting this fight, Brother Drew, for a long, long time.
Okay, let me ask you a question. That's my first time actually ever hearing of the police jury. Can you explain the difference? You know, I see your city do something different than I'm totally used to. What is a police jury?
Well, actually, it's just a – well, let me say this first of all. Louisiana is a little bit different from the other states. I think it's Louisiana and Alaska that's actually under what they call the Napoleonic Code. And so we have parishes as opposed to counties. And so we have parish representatives where you would probably have over there a county representative.
Okay.
And so we, you know, all that they would do is pretty similar to what the city council would do. They would serve to regulate the, as far as legislation goes, administration to run the parish, run the parish as a whole, whereas the city is a city entity. It's a municipality that sits within the parish, so it's a little bit smaller.
Oh, okay. All right, we got some callers coming in. I'm trying to see if one of them, Brother Devin, let me check the phone lines real quick.
Brother Devin is sitting here right with me.
Oh, okay, so that means, okay, caller coming out of 111 area code. You on with us?
Okay, this is Carol Lexing. I was calling in. Hello?
Oh, okay, yeah, go ahead, Sister Lexing. You on with us? You had to come here?
No, I was just yielding to the mayor's comment.
Okay, just letting them know you. All right, then. All right, if you want to get back in with us, press 1 on your phone twice, and that'll let me know you're trying to get back in with us, sister.
Yeah, I'm just listening in. I'm one of the attorneys for the mayor. That's all.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay, then. That's great. Great to have you on with us. Also, Nancy, I see you just logged in. If you want to give us a call in also, Sister Nancy, she just logged in on the computer. So we got brother and sister listening via the phone and via the computer. All right, Mayor, so what's some of the let's open the line to Sister Nancy real quick. Sister Nancy, you on with us?
Yes, I'm here. How are you?
Okay. Well, we on with the sister attorney for the mayor, and also the mayor is on with us also.
Good.
Okay, I was just gonna get into some questions. You have anything you wanna bring out, Nancy, before I ask the mayor some questions?
I don't know. Did attorney Scott make it? Has he called in?
I don't think Attorney Scott is going to be with us. I spoke with him about 20 minutes ago. He was on the road. He actually thought that we were going to have the session in his office. And in light of the fact that we have a mix-up on that, he's probably not going to be on with us.
I know one of the more important issues that he wanted to bring out was, I think, voter suppression.
That's exactly right. Mr. Scott and Carol really want to help to bring this to an issue of national concern. We know now that there has been a lot of concern and talk about the dismantling of some parts of the Civil Rights Act. For what we are having to deal with here, we're wondering what will happen. What would happen? Do we still have a need for the Voters' Rights Act? We say to you that in Jonesboro, for what's happening to us, that the citizens' votes are actually being infringed upon, because what they are trying to do is to remove the mayors, and I'm going to start with black mayors, but what the danger of this is that it does not just limit itself to black mayors. If they can get away with this that they're trying to do, as far as judges stepping in and ruling that there's a right for them to send a fiscal administrator into one's town and then to overstep that statutory authority by giving them the rights and authority that would normally be in the hands of the mayor by constitution and by statute, this is a very, very dangerous template that's being created, and we want for the people to know that we are the example of what will happen if in event that this is allowed to happen.
All right, that's very well said, and we do understand what you're saying also, Mayor. Also, Nancy, I was just letting you know that one of the attorneys is on with us, I believe.
Carter.
Sister Carol.
Attorney Lex, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Great. Would you like to elaborate more on this, on the voter suppression, Attorney Lex?
Well, we see that Jonesboro, Louisiana is pretty much the catalyst for the beginning of showing the Supreme Court that we are in dire need of keeping the different sections of the Voting Rights Act in, and especially Section 4 that they took out, and more importantly, Section 5, which has to do with the will of the people. When the people elect their elected officials, they should not be taken away by other people who have political agendas or who are concerned about not being in control to come in and overstep and take over and use the legal system as a callus for doing that. By, say, for instance, in Jonesboro, they put a physical administrator to take and assume the duties of the mayor and the city council, which was elected by the people. That is a dangerous precedent that's being set down in Jonesboro, and that's why it's our concern that it's very important that the citizens of Jonesboro voting rights not be impinged upon as a result of a few disgruntled people who have racial agendas and other agendas when they're not satisfied with the will of the people who voted, say, for instance, the mayor and the council in. So that's our position on that. We're very concerned about how the will of the people being suppressed by allowing the system to come in and to put other people who are not elected officials over the elected officials that the people actually voted for and put in place as their representatives. That's a serious problem. That's a serious problem that we see that's going to be widespread across the country. And what you have is you have a system that's getting around the Voting Rights Act to do that. So that's where our concerns lie as it relates to pretty much what's going on in Jonesboro with the mayor and the council.
Okay, okay. And this, are you all experiencing a new wave of gentrification there?
Of course. I think that's the whole,
okay.
That's the problem.
Yeah. I just want to make it clear so that listeners understand exactly the problem.
Right.
Okay. Okay.
And I'd just like to add that for those who are students of law and who like to really look at this a little bit closer, there is a statute, I guess it's 39-1351, that talks about the appointment of a fiscal administrator. And in that same vein, you would have the duties of a fiscal administrator. And if you were to go to look at that, you would find that they would have to first – actually, that board is made up of three individuals, one that represents the state treasurer, the other that represents the state legislative auditor, and the other is the attorney general. And when they can conclude unanimously that your town is not economically sovereign – not able to meet or pay its current bills, then this statute is what gives rise to their appointing a fiscal administrator. But when they did Jonesboro this way, they sent a fiscal administrator and then told us that we had to pay that administrator $125 per hour in addition to his lodging, in addition to his food. We're talking about on average day $1,000 a day. And so when we say that if the town is sovereign, but you come in to put that type of a financial burden, there is something wrong with that picture. And so not only that, you know, we have been, City Hall has been raided by the sheriff, and apparently with no probable cause that we can see. And when we have things like this happening, it says to us that we are rolling back, that the hands of time and justice are rolling back to a day that I don't think we ever want to have to relive. The history that we've read about, the day of Jim Crowism, we are now calling out, crying out for those across the country to recognize what's going on and realize that the bell does toll not only for us but for you as well if you are an elected official. And if we can see it as being a problem that's just not reserved or to the town or just to Jonesboro, then I'm hoping that we'll all rally and get up and come this way, send help or whatever it is that we might be able to do to help.
All right, very good. Okay. We know one thing. President Obama was elected into office around the same time you were mayor, and so it appears that this racism that we're seeing might be, coincides with the president election, might coincide with blacks starting to rise in the power. I just get your thoughts on that, Mayor.
Yes, it does coincide. As a matter of fact, our position has been from the very beginning that ever since the election of this country's first black president, there has been an escalation of attack on black elected officials all over. We can see it down here. I know that there are friends of mine that I have seen just in the last year or two that have been attacked in the same way, similar ways. Some are actually in prison now. And I'm saying to the country that if these folk are so upset that it appears that they are losing control and power, those things that they are used to having, that they would go to these extents, that now that they would actually go into the courts and have folk who were elected to do what's right judicially, and for them to now not only change law, but this statute that I just referred to you, they actually took it before the House of Representatives last month, a month before last, and actually modified it so as to make sure that it fit the Jonesboro and it fits any other official that they intend to go after. And that's dangerous. That's very, very dangerous.
Oh, okay, sure. Stand by 1 second, Mayor. We got another calling in. 214 area code 586. You on with us?
Yeah, I'm on. Yeah, I really just now hearing about the situation. So what's going on.
Okay, so you're just standing there listening, all right?
I'm just listening and checking it out.
Right.
You know, because I really wasn't privy to it. I really didn't know what was going
on. All right. Well, we appreciate you listening and standing by and be ready to mobilize when the black nation needs you because, you know, we got to represent our brothers and sisters all around the nation. That's what the Black Nation Task Force do. We come to our brothers and sisters, assistance when they need us, and that's what we're about. So be prepared to mobilize. Any other person want to get on with us? Have any questions about what's going on, press 1 on your phone, and we'll get you on. We've got a lot of callers listening to us tonight. Also, Mayor, we know I've seen a YouTube clip, and I also had a clip on our show page where people could see the clip of some racist outbreak that you had at the city council meeting. You know that YouTube
yes.
clip I'm talking about?
Yes, I do. I'm not exactly sure the actually address. Maybe Devin can give it to you before we get off the air because there may be some others who want to see. Because for the most part, the racism has been undercurrent. It's not something that's just blatant and in your face as it was that night at the meeting. After a while of dealing with this situation, as I said earlier, having the sheriff to come in to not only to bring an injunction, I'd never heard of this before, where the sheriff comes in and serves an injunction to stop the council from voting. They did not like what we were going to vote on that night, but I say that if these individuals were elected by the people, and that is their job, that's their function, to vote the will of the folk that they represent. But not only did they do that, we wind up in court and we've been in court for over 2 years just dealing with that same issue of what they called to be an unbalanced budget. Now, we know that the town's budget was balanced, but because of this group who decides that they are in charge of the law, this group that decides that they can file a frivolous lawsuit and know that the judge is going to hold it up. This is a spent. I believe that there has been over $2 million of taxpayer dollars spent investigating the town of Jonesboro. Now, I'll say this. We have gone and knocked on every door that we know to knock on to let folk know that there's an injustice that's going on in the town of Jonesboro. We have knocked on the NAACP door. We started there because we know that in 2010, that they had a convention, a state convention, where they had actually implemented a resolution where they were saying that they were aware that this problem was going on even before it became pertinent that it was happening here in Jonesboro. We have actually gone, that's local, state level in NAACP, we've knocked on the door of NAN, National Network, Action Network. We have some support that's coming from that direction at this point as we speak. We have just finished talking with the FBI. We talked with the U.S. Department of Labor, Justice. We have just finished talking with the Civil Rights Division. So I want you to know that this is not something, because somebody might be saying, what are y'all doing? Are you actually fighting back? We are fighting back, and now we have opted to take this fight to the street, if you would. We are taking it to grassroots. I was really happy to hear about your organization, because as we now have been charged with criminal charges that we can't get into, my lawyer's on the other side right now, I'm sure saying don't talk about that too much, but we have a criminal court that's actually coming up on the 26th of August. And so we need as many folk, as many vans, as many travelers who could load up and come down here to be with us on that day, so that when those judges and folk look out in the audience, that they'll see some folk who look like us, and they'll see that there are some folk that look like us who are concerned and concerned enough to come to see about us.
That's right, and we sure can do that. Okay, also, you know, we know you have a defense fund. You can't go into the legal part of it. Okay, I actually got the address on the show page, but do you want to give it out for the ones who's listening on by air, if you know it off top of your head?
Well, you know, I'm looking for something here. I tell you, I will. How long is this show, Drew?
Oh, we got the show scheduled for another hour and a half. So, I mean, I actually could get it, Mary. I just thought you might know it. I can get it to save you some trouble.
Well, Devin is actually going out to get it now. If it would put you in any trouble, we definitely want to air it out, because we are in need of help from a financial standpoint, and we are just moving into that phase where we're letting folk know. Because there are some folk who can't come, but they could financially be of some assistance, and we'd appreciate that if we could get some help.
All right. We definitely want to make sure we can do both of them. Go ahead, Nancy.
Yeah, I have the GoFundMe link. Is that what you were talking about?
Yes,
the
it is. Yes.
Okay, it's www.gofundme.com. /38LY8K. That's www.gofundme.com/38LY8K. Did you have maybe a post office box or something, Mayor, that
yes,
you'd
we
like
do.
To give that address for people who don't like putting their credit cards
right,
on there.
Right, right. I'm glad you asked. We have a post office. Actually, it's an address. It's Leslie Thompson Legal Defense Fund. It's 101 Holley, H-O-L-L-E-Y, Drive. And that's Jonesboro, J-O-N-E-S-B-O-R-O, Louisiana, 71251. Again, 101 Holley Drive, Jonesboro, 71251.
Okay, very good. All right, so I'll definitely be making my donations tomorrow to that also. Also, Mayor, there's one other thing I wanted to ask you. It's slipping my mind, but it'll come back to me. Let me look at my paper. Maybe I have it written down.
All right.
Okay, well, let me just ask you this. What inspired you to get into politics, and then while I'm searching my paper? Go ahead. What inspired you to get into politics?
Actually, all of my life, that for as long as I can remember, my focus has been on helping people, providing service. Having grown up here in Jonesboro, for those of you who know of a group called the Deacons of Defense, they started right here in Jonesboro to see black men stand up to fight for our cause and to be able to recognize the struggle and not to cower down. That inspired me at a very, very, very early age. And not only that, I would say around about third grade, fourth grade, during the height of the civil rights movement, having had CORE, SNCC, but especially CORE members from up north come down to fight for our cause side by side with my mom, dad, watching them fight for rights that I thought that more of us ought to be standing up for, watching them be put in jail, watching them be put in garbage cans, being beaten, and you know the story. And seeing that at a very early age, I could remember making a commitment that one day I would grow up. One day I would grow up, and I would be able to do my part for whatever that would be. And so it turned out that having finished school in political science, didn't know that I was going to gravitate to this particular vein, but that happens to be where my area of concentration lies. And then from there to go on to Atlanta University to study African-American studies to be able to learn more about my people, I have just been inspired all along the way to do what I can do to push for greater equality, for social justice for all. And that's just a part of who I am. Now, they say that politicians like myself, when we are fighting for what we believe to be right, or when we have to entertain the discussion of race, as you can see now Fox News is doing as relates to the Martin case, they say that we are the racist one. That we should not be talking about that, that we've gotten beyond that day and we've gotten beyond that point. But I beg to differ, and that from where I sit, I still have to fight and do all I can. And right now, from the position of mayor, is a good platform for me.
Okay. You just reminded me. That was actually my question. You know, as a activist, as a leader, I was going to ask you what you thought about this verdict, you know, because sometimes you'll hear our leaders come out and speak. You know, sometimes people need to hear our leaders say things, because a lot of people look up to brothers and sisters like mayors, legislators, council members. So I was going to ask, what was your thought about that verdict?
I tell you, I'm saddened by what I learned when the verdict came down. But was I surprised? The answer to that would be no. To have to go before a jury of what they call or say to be our peers. I have to go before a jury myself within the next 4 or 5 weeks. Fortunately, I have good representation, as you heard, Ms. Carol Lection, so I feel comfortable with my representation. But I know also that the system has to work. And having gone into court now for the last 2 or 3 years and being right and still not having come out of the courtroom with a win verdict, it troubles me. And so now we engage in conversation. Now, I feel that the country is in a better place. There are some who would beg to differ with that, but I say for as long as we don't talk about it, then we don't make any progress. And what has happened with the Trayvon case is that it has not inspired conversation. It's given us the incentive to talk about what's the reality of the situation. Now, I can see that we are so diverse as a people that it's difficult to make folks see from your perspective. Now, I just simply believe that this is about equal justice. I believe that we talk about the 15th Amendment and the equality is what we are looking for, and that what we hope to be able to attain in this country, due process, fair due process, and those kinds of things. We just don't have it. And the Trayvon case, I think, is in your face to say, this is who we are as a country. What are we going to do about it? This is who we are as a people, and while white America opt not to want to talk about it, it does not make it not be the case. I had a meeting with my staff today, and we talked about how my coming on as the first African American to serve in this capacity. Now we have to do it at another level. There are things that are required of us that were not required of my predecessors. We have to be the fair, we have to be equal, and now it's causing for those folk who have always had privilege to no longer have privilege. And if you no longer have privilege, then you want to say somehow that I'm wrong or I'm a racist or I'm not about equality. No. To make it even and to make it equal or to make it right, there's going to be some situations that we have to go through that's not going to feel as good as we would like for it to feel. That's why I say I believe that the country is in a better place than it has been in a long time, because now we can see how it is that we feel that there is a black elected president of the United States. We can see and we can deal with the fact that we don't feel that good, or we feel elated that there's a black mayor for the first time in a small rural town like Jonesboro. So it's a bittersweet type of a reaction to the Trayvon case. I just believe that had the individual been white, it's just in my heart a fact that he would have made it to the House.
That's right.
Had it been reversed and the individual had been black, who actually killed the young man, he would be in prison at this point. That's the reality that I know. It doesn't make me wrong or right. That's just what I live. That's been my experience. And so we need to talk about it. And if we as a people can talk about it, then we might be able to find that we can find some progress along the way.
Okay. All right. I also heard through your a member of your council that you were arrested because of a handshake, shaking a woman's hand.
That's exactly right. I was wondering if you were going to get to that. That's exactly right. And then that was, again, Ms. Carol Lexton, who was standing by my side as we went in to meet with the sheriff. It's very interesting because I did shake her hand, and all of a sudden the definition of simple battery became touching a person who doesn't want to be touched. But as Ms. Carol Lexton said to the sheriff at that particular time, that's not the definition of simple battery. That would have to be the presence of the intent to do bodily harm. And absence of that intent to do bodily harm should have caused those charges, in my opinion, to be dropped. But not only were they not dropped, I'm now wearing a criminal record in my jacket because I have been convicted of touching someone who didn't want to be touched, and therefore, it's a charge that I'm having to deal with, and that's the reality. That's what we're talking about when we say that's the world that we live in.
Right. We know we definitely
get what? Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Ness.
The person whose hand you were shaking, did they jerk their hand back? I mean, how could?
Well, she said I pushed her. Is what she said. In actuality, we were at a public event. We're at a public event where there are hundreds of folk that's out here, and my job as mayor has been to come out or was to come out to introduce the bands, and then we do what we do to shake hands with the people that we see in the area. I had visited every booth with the exception of this last booth, and this lady's hand who I happened to have shaken was a council lady. She is the she's the voice for that extreme right group that we're talking about, that group that cannot accept and tolerate my being here. But I didn't want to show any favoritism. I didn't want to show any discrimination. Since I have gone to every other booth, I wanted to end up with her. And when I did shake her hand, she did say, get away from me. And when I backed up, she said, well, you pushed me, and I'm going to call the police. And I'm going to report, she said, battery or something to that effect. And I didn't think it would go any further than that. As a matter of fact, my words to her, and they are part of the police report, that I love you. I love you. And I would wish that we would not have to act like this in the public. And she said to me, you don't love anybody. You love only yourself or something to that effect. That's the rest of the story.
Well, let me just jump into that as it relates to that particular story. You have a lady who sits on the council with the mayor and the other council people. She's one of the people that she's having a hard time dealing with the new administration, with the new mayor, and she's gone out of her way to try to sabotage the administration. She's one of the people that does not want that town to move forward. And if you are able to get on, I guess, look at some of the council meetings, you will see she's always in the midst of confusion and starting confusion because she is a part of that core group that is having a very hard time with adjusting to that you have an African-American mayor and an African-American council, and she cannot get over that. And that's the part of the group, or that little pocket of people that keeps everything stirred up and keeps confusion going while the town can't move forward. It's like she has an agenda, pretty much like you said with President Obama. You got that group, that core group that's hell-bent on stopping, and they do not want that administration to be successful. And that's just the bottom line of it all.
Oh, okay. And we also heard that the Aryan Nation marched down there, but they will give a permit to march, but the your own you being the mayor, you couldn't get a permit yourself to do a demonstration. I'm not sure if I'm saying that right, but maybe you can clear that up.
Well, in actuality, the state NAACP did rally. They came to Jonesboro. We marched, but it was our original intent to take that march uptown. We had learned that the Aryan Nation had come. We knew that they were planning to come, and I think that their primary objective was to cause conflict, and we wanted to avoid that potential conflict. So what we did was we changed the direction that the NAACP and the community would actually march, and we had folks to come in from all over the state, from as far down as New Orleans and up north. So that did happen. We did not have necessarily a problem getting the permit. We just were not going to be able to march, I think, on the courthouse lawn. But when we found out later, the Aryan Nation, that's pretty much where they were. So so it's kind of interesting, kind of ironic that those folk who would be in position, sheriffs and folk who, police jurors and folk who would be in charge, would treat the NAACP a little differently than they seem to have treated the Aryan Nation.
Okay, so Mayor, in your city, so is the mayor the head of the city in Jonesboro, or is it your sheriff?
Well, actually, the mayor has always been the head of the municipality, and I'm determined to make sure that that holds. They seem to be determined to make sure that it changes. And never before has a sheriff come over, especially without probable cause, and raid and take all the computers and things out of a mayor's office. This is unheard of in this day and time. But the Larson Act that governs our town is set up such that the mayor and the council are the ones who are to dictate law, legislation, and so forth. But here the judges have decided that they're going to play a role, and they're going to tell us what to do, how to do it, when to do it, and if you don't do it quite like we say, then we'll show you how to get, we can put you back on this plantation, and we'll show you that even if it means that we have to imprison you, that's what we'll do.
Oh, okay. We know, I heard that a lot of media, you weren't getting media coverage down there as far as some of this atrocity that just happened. So I took the liberty of actually putting this show on a few of the news stations down there in your area, so they can, if they're not on the show right now listening, they can show here later on. So we're going to help see if we can promote the news down there, because we know a lot of times, well, all the time, not a lot of the times, shoot, all the time, they control the media. And they control and try to make and break who they choose. But we know the creator have his hand on certain brothers and sisters. And also, Mayor, I heard also, you know, they want to remove you because they got somebody that will play ball for them. You know anything about that one?
Yes. You know how it is, that conquer and divide. It's always been a part of our history. There has always been, as a matter of fact, I had a white gentleman who came in my office one day and said, he said, I used to think that they gave you so much grief because you were black. He said, but now I'm not so sure. He said, because there are some blacks I know that could actually sit in that chair and not be given, not receive so much flack and so much grief. And it made me think as he said that, and I needed to give him a little bit of information that maybe he was bored of, and that is that in our history there has always been what we call a certain lineage, or what they call the house Negro and the field hand, if you would. And so I let it be known that there is no question about where I come from. I come from the field. While I would love to help all people, and it took me, you know, I mean, I lost two terms before I won the third race for mayor. I needed to learn how to be the mayor, and I believe that I have learned how to be the mayor for all people. And that's what I'm pushing for. Let's move this town forward, and let's do it together. But there are just a group that seem not to want to do that. Now, when a field hand takes an office, it becomes, I think, more incumbent upon us to reach out to make sure that other brothers and sisters who need a hand would be able to receive a hand. On the other hand, the House hand, or for lack of then calling it something else, but the House hand tends to be more responsive to what the majority class is asking and for what it is that they want. And for if as long as those type of individuals can be elected and to make us believe that somehow they are concerned about our way of being, and when I say our, I'm talking about the masses of the people, when in actuality they are more concerned about their own personal interests. Well, that's just happened not to be me. And to have someone of my character in this office, I knew that it was going to be met with conflict. I think it was inevitable and that there was going to be no way that that could be avoided. However, I'm dedicated and committed to the cause so that I might be able to do my part. I tell folk all the time that when I look back and my grandson looks back at the legacy, I want for him to be able to say that I do live in a country. I do live in a country where I can be whatever I want to be. I do live in a country where I can aspire to do this and not to be afraid that I'll be rejected or I'll be turned away because of my skin color. I have that obligation. So, yes, there are some other folk that they're looking at, and I say to those folk, bring it on, and hopefully we can continue to educate our people. And when I say our people now, I'm not talking about just us as a black people. We can educate our people as a whole. So for those who understand that good government is for all the people, so let us be about doing what we need to do as a people, working collaboratively together so that we can get this thing done and become the America that we say we want to be.
All right, sounds real good. We're going to take a two-minute break and give you a chance to get some water if you need it. We'll be back, everybody, in 2 minutes. We'll play this two-minute song. We'll be right back. Thank you. Back with you. This is your host, Brother Drew X. We're calling off that Black Nation Task Force Radio. Tonight we're speaking with Tamara Lexley Thompson of Jonesboro, Louisiana. Also, we have his attorney on present also, who was also attorney for the Gina Six, Sister Carol Lexington. Also, our spokesman, Nancy Lockhart, is on with us also. Brothers and sisters, a lot of people on the caller lines. If you want to get in with us, just press 1 on your phone. If you have a comment that just want to say you're listening, just press 1 on your phone. Let our brothers and sisters know that we do support our brothers and sisters. All right. Let me go back to the mirror, open his lines, open everybody's lines back up. Okay, we got a caller calling in also. caller calling in out of the 817 area code, 903. You on with us?
Yeah, this is Brother K out of Fort Worth.
Hey, Brother K, how you doing, brother?
Hey, what's going on, brother? Peace to you. How you doing on this night?
All right, I'm doing great. You have a comment, a question for the mayor?
Yes, I just had a quick question for the mayor. I just wanted to get his feedback on something that had crossed my mind. We were talking about the conversation that we needed to have in this country about race relations, whatnot. But I also wanted to say how, you know, seeing the problems, the issues that he's having over there in Jonesboro, Louisiana, I can't help but see, and we all as a people can't help but see that, I'm having a little bit of acid reflux, but as a people, we can't help but see that this is a nationwide problem. It, you know, it's not just a Jonesboro problem. I mean, you know, the president of the United States, there's been unprecedented disrespect towards him. There's been unprecedented threats towards him. There's been, I mean, you name it, it's just been unprecedented. And I think the conversation we need to have as a people is, what happens when we're out of conversation? What happens when there's no more dialogue left that can be had? Because, you know, we've tried this. Dr. King tried it. Many of our leaders have tried it. Many of our intellectuals have tried it. And we keep finding ourselves chasing our tail. And we keep finding ourselves back in the same situations, in the same type of oppressions, some 450, 500 years later. I just wanted to get the mayor's input on that.
All right.
Well, I
think
the call for that call, for that question, as a matter of fact, it made me think about sometimes my own sentiment. It's groups like this, Black Nation Task Force. I'm very, very elated to hear that there is a group, or that there are groups out there that are still true to the core, that are really trying to find out what we can do. Because I think a lot of us, and when you look at history, you'll always find that there are maybe one or two prominent schools of thought. If you go back to W.E.B. Du Bois, you'll have his version, his take on how we should handle it. Then you have Booker T on the other hand, who says, but I think that we should do this. If you go back even further than that, you'll deal with brothers like Marcus Garvey and the Pan-Africanism movement. But then on the other side, you'd have brothers like Frederick Douglass. And you bring it on a little closer and talk about Dr. King, who I have utmost respect for, my Alpha fraternity brother, did a great job to help move us forward. Well, even in the school that says nonviolence is the way, you still had Malcolm X, who was on the other side, who says by any means necessary. So we are such a diverse group that we just can't give up when it doesn't seem to be moving as fast as we think that it ought to be. But I do think that we are mandated, if you would. We are compelled for whatever area it is that you're moving from, because sometimes it gets to the point where we feel like we should that the talk should have that it's enough talk. Enough talk now. The problem sometimes seems so big that it appears that, you know, what can I do? What can a small group do? I tell you that in Jonesboro, we are committed to do what we have to do in Jonesboro to make Jonesboro better. And I operate from that premise to say that if an event and when we make Jonesboro better, for whatever it is that we have to do, because the Deacons of Defense decided they would go to the arms or go to the rifle to make sure that they protected their kids. I heard a guy the other day say something about when it comes down to the standing your ground rule, that maybe we as a black people ought to be more supportive of that, because it tends that when it seems to be a tendency that when that group realizes that we're not afraid, when that group realizes that we can stand our ground, and if it works for you, then it can work for us. If you can bring it like that, and we can bring it like that as well, then sometimes that will help to diffuse some of the issue that's coming. So there is no real right or wrong way, is what I'm trying to say. But for whatever way you have subscribed to, that you have to give it all you got, and to make wherever you stay to be a little bit better, so that ultimately the country becomes better as a result of it.
All right. Any other questions or statements, Brother K?
I have. Oh, go ahead.
Okay, let me Brother Kay, that was you finished with your question?
Oh, yes, sir. I just wanted to get a little bit of input. I appreciate the mayor's answering that and giving his opinion on my thought.
All right, stand by. I think he's saying on August 26th he needs us to come down at a court, Brother Kay, so stand by and put that on your calendar.
Okay, peace.
All right. All right, peace. All right, Sister Nessa, go ahead. We're going to go to 615.
I was wondering, Mayor Thompson, I thought that I remembered that there was a National Council of Black Mayors, and if I remember correctly, there were some internal issues. I'm not certain if there are other black mayoral organizations, but I was wondering if so, have they provided any assistance or support for you?
Good question. From a position of organized structure, no. From individuals within those organizations, we've received quite a bit of support. As a matter of fact, we have a convention that's scheduled to take place here in Monroe, Louisiana, within the next couple of weeks. We'll be over there. As a matter of fact, there is a Black Caucus meeting that's scheduled to be held the first day, where I intend to be there to share with some of my brothers and sisters as it relates to what's going on here in Jonesboro. We have a problem when it comes to coming together, and I'm talking about us as a people. We have a problem. Sometimes there's too much diversity, and we try to figure out why we shouldn't help or why we shouldn't participate. That's unfortunate, but I'm learning to call it like it is. When we talk about in NAACP, we have we believe that we should be able to get more help, grassroots help. I appreciate that we do get from the individual. But when you're talking, my son is the president of the state chapter, youth chapter, NAACP of Louisiana. He just got back from a convention, I think, he and Devin were over in Miami, right? Orlando? Yes. And he was able to talk to a lot of members. And a lot of the members, what they will ask is, have you gone through protocol? Protocol. I understand that, but sometimes we get so much into the protocol and so much into the red tape that we cease being who it is that we used to be, and we cease being able to stand up and to come together as a group to do what we need to do. It's been my experience that when I go to Black Caucus meetings or we go to these type of organizations that you just made reference to, that a lot of times we won't have enough to even have a quorum. And that's unfortunate because when you go into when you go into these small rooms and you're talking to your people who are supposed to be elected, who's supposed to have the fire and who's supposed to be able to stand their ground for what they believe as it relates to the progression of their people, we hear a lot of rhetoric inside those caucuses. But when it comes time to really get out and to show yourself, when it comes time for you to get out and to go into the hallway and to deal with these issues in the open and the public, we find that we are not nearly as effective as we need to be. So my position, I don't mean to be hard, but I do want to let folk know that if we're not doing what it is that we ought to be doing, then I have to become more vocal. And hopefully in my being more vocal, that we'll get folk to either, it doesn't matter if you get mad, it doesn't matter if we get upset, but I'm hoping that we'll become a better people when it comes to rallying to, because if more folk knew about what's going on here in Jonesboro, and I appreciate what you're doing, Drew, we should have that courtroom packed, the walls, the outside of the courtroom should be packed, but a lot of times it's just as a result of the lack of knowledge, and that's why I'm so appreciative of what you're doing tonight.
All right. Well, we sure
if it's okay, I think I will tomorrow I'll contact Mr. Charles Evers was a mayor in Mississippi. I think Johnny Ford was mayor in Tuskegee. I'm going to contact them tomorrow and at least ask them to make a decent donation to your legal defense fund, if that's
thank
okay.
you, thank you much. And I don't mind you giving them my phone number because we do get a lot of calls here at City Hall from a lot of the black mayors across the state, and they are very, very supportive in doing what they can, where they can.
Okay.
All right. All right, let me grab this next caller. They've been holding on for about 20 minutes. Let me grab this next caller and see what caller coming out of the 615 area code, 578 Jones.
Yes, sir. Thank you, brother. Peace and blessings, family. This is Brother Maurice Muhammad. And,
hey, Brother Maurice.
You know, it's saddening to hear the mayor say the things that's going on. You know, today I was in the foreign relations briefing on Capitol Hill, and with the African countries, it was Mali, Gambia, and a few others. But I'm looking at these people who are ambassadors and coming before, you know, the white man, essentially begging for help, you know, begging for money. One was saying that, you know, the government promised them, you know, $100,000. They still ain't got the money. You know, what's the hold up? You know, this $100,000 is no money. You know, that's not no money. But
mm-hmm.
when we look at our condition, we still begging. This our brother is the mayor, and they're trying to undo anything that they can for him to remove him from power. We got to understand that when Malcolm and King was on the scene, you gave the government options. You either going to work with Martin Luther King or you going to face Malcolm X. We don't have options. Well, we don't have options. There is no other option. So the enemy does anything he wants, and we just sit back and say, wow.
That's right.
The NAACP is ineffective. They've
mm-hmm.
been ineffective. They're on the other side. We got to be able to say the things that need to be said and unify and do the things that need to be done so that we can back the mayor. See, the mayor can't come out and say certain things because he's the mayor. He has to rule for everybody. But he needs us to be able to say what needs to be said so they'll listen to him. So they'll see that it's easy to work with him, even though they don't want to do it. But it's either that or you're going to face this. And they don't want to face this. So they'll work with the mayor begrudgingly, but they'll do it anyway. We got to come up out of this, always keep doing the same things that never worked. We, the civil rights movement, we didn't win nothing. Everything we got was a concession, and the proof it was a concession is they taking it all back.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to wake up, man, and understand what we got to do, what we got to do. And if we don't come together, then our mayor can't do the things that he has to do. Simple as that. If we want him to be successful, we do what got to be done to make him successful. We got to make him successful. Simple as that. Simple. I wish I was in with you, brother. I will get this stuff done with you because they got to see two sides of that coin.
Right.
Thank you.
Okay.
Right.
Did you try to say something? You were trying to say something. Okay. Thank you, Brother Maurice.
I think that really what we're trying to do, and if you don't mind, Brother Jew, I'd like to recap the issues here. I don't know how many people, you know, maybe just tuning in or are aware of the issues, but one issue is there was a recall attempted shortly after the installation. Is that correct, Mr. Thompson?
That's correct.
Okay, and then there's also another issue, which is or was that white employees walked off of the job, leaving
right.
the administration vulnerable with reference to internal controls and record keeping. Were you able to replace those people, or did those white individuals come back to work?
Well, that's right. And I'm glad you brought that up because what it did, it did put us in a disarray for a while. It made it very difficult for us to put our hands on records. And what consequently these folk decided to do was basically to use that to give them the impetus or the reason to justify what we're doing. So we've had for 15 years an accountant who had been the accountant for the town, and all of a sudden he doesn't want to be the accountant anymore. And so by the time it gets down to the capital, it's already packaged in such a way to make it look like we are stealing. It makes it's packaged in a way to when the legislative auditor is coming to my office for more than 3 or 4 months to go through records to check to see if they can find anything missing, they leave, and then immediately there starts a criminal investigation based upon what they call misappropriations of public funds in the tune of $385,000+. See, these are the kinds of things that they do, and Mr. Maurice, I really, really appreciate what he said, because we have to decide whether or not we're going to fight back or not. So to go to the sheriff's office and to go through a criminal investigation and then later to find out throughout the midst of that investigation that the dollars that they were showing as being missing, he had a report that had every dollar accounted for. And so then I called the Department of Justice, and for them to come down and to look at all the receipts and to see that everything's there, not until we were able to do that were we able to put the brakes on that type of investigation. But they decided that if that didn't work, then we'll try something else. But if we can break their backs here, then Jonesboro would be in a much better position to take care of our own business, but it'll put us in a position to be able to be a showcase for the rest of the country that we can fight this system. We can fight these folk who have decided that they will destroy us or distract us at whatever the cost, and it will help us to be able to be a help to other parts of the country.
Okay, and then there's some council members traveled to Baton Rouge and appeared before Legislative Auditor Advisory Committee.
That's exactly right. When those members, when I came in as the first black elected mayor, I was accompanied by a majority white council. That was not that much of an issue as long as there was a majority council behind me that had to vote yay or nay in terms of whether or not my programs were able to go through. It wasn't until 2011 when Devin, who's now the mayor pro temp, and the majority black council won seats that it became a problem, a real problem, and then the attack really escalated at that point. But those whites on their way out did go down to Baton Rouge, and before the Senate committee made it very clear that they had an individual that they couldn't control, and they had an individual who didn't understand his place on the plantation and for somehow needed to be taught a lesson. I understand that I got a call from a white gentleman who did come to me later to say that, hey, I was in this meeting and I heard them say that they would not let up until they had this guy, talking about me, in prison. And I tell you that I have to commend them for the effort that they have put forth, and I have to commend my lawyers for, after 6 years, to have fought this, to still be on the ground, above ground, and able to talk to you guys like we are. Because you probably know, too, that the ex-mayor did basically threaten my life. And for him to make a comment in the council meeting that we need to put a bullet in his head, it turned out that not only did they do nothing, that the sheriff, the investigation has gone nowhere, but they actually arrested the black guy who actually overheard it. Now, if that's not Jim Crowism, if that's not back in the days of old, I don't know what is. And that's why I say we need to come together and help me to defeat this element, and we can do it if we come together.
Right,
okay, so, and then there is also these parties and then a gospel concert I was going to mention.
Yes. It's interesting because they want to say that the mayor hosted, I think they said, parties without council approval. What they are referring to is the fact that the mayor, the first black mayor, who opted to want to be progressive in the way of doing business in the town, was actually hosting network sessions where we brought in mayors from all over the state, and it just so happened that at one of those meetings was held on my birthday, and somebody made the mistake, I'd say, of wishing me a happy birthday. So it got out that this was a birthday party, when all we were trying to do was trying to implement plans, economic development plans, to work together from an engineering standpoint to get some ideas on the table. But they missed that. but they escalated, they amplified this party thing. And that happened over, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 years ago. And I tell folks that as hard as they have come at me, if in the event that that had been a party using taxpayer dollars, I would have been locked up by now. That's the logic in that. The gospel concert is that in an effort to try to put on some programs or have some venue where we could generate money for the town, it was my desire to try to put on a couple of concerts. We tried, but that was during the time that I had the white council behind me, and they were very much non-supportive. They then cried out that I was doing this without council's approval. My position was, and I spoke with my attorney about this, is that the way the Larson Act works is that once I have introduced a budget and once the council has adopted that budget, then what they have done, if there's a line item that says concert, if there's a line item that says marketing, if there's a line item that says entertainment, then I have the right to spend up to the amount of dollars, and their approval had been given by them having adopted the budget. And, again, if that had been in violation, we would have probably not be here by now. But that's exactly where those items came from.
Okay. And this, I guess, I'd like to ask Attorney Lexing. Is it customary that a fire chief and a former police officer directly sues a mayor for wrongful termination?
Well, you know, any people can sue people for anything. It doesn't mean that when they sue them that they have a legitimate claim. In that particular case, as we speak of the little things that are going down in Jonesboro, it seemed that they really didn't have any merit to their claim, but that's just a part of that system that's going on down there. That's a part of that injustice that's taking place down in Jonesboro, Louisiana.
So was the mayor the only person sued, or was it the city, or what?
I'm not for sure because I didn't handle that case.
Okay.
Yeah, that case was handled by the town attorney, the own staff town attorney, Douglas Stoke. And the district judge, who happened to be named Jimmy Teat, who tends to rule against the town no matter what comes before him, actually ruled in the fire chief's favor, said that we did, in fact, terminate him wrongfully. We have that matter before the Court of Appeals right now. And so I feel that we will prevail there because he was replaced just like other fire chiefs have been replaced. When I came in my first term, I actually appointed a fire chief, and that name was rejected. First time in the history of Jonesboro that was the mayor not able to get who he wanted in place because of the system. The system requires that there be a confirmation by the council. But after the my second term, and the council coming in, and the council being more friendly to the mayor and more in step with what the mayor is trying to get done, I was able to resubmit the name that I had submitted 4 years ago, and they confirmed, ratified that name. And now all of a sudden we have to go to court and spend tons of money because the guy feels that he was somehow wrongfully terminated, even though I had written him a letter a couple of weeks prior to the recommendation of the other guy, letting it be known that it was our intent to move in a different direction.
What year were you elected?
I was elected 2007 and reelected for 2011, end of 2010.
Oh, okay. And then I have one more question, and I hope this will be my last one. Why have you remained there? Why are you still living there?
Well, I spoke in a church the other day, and I think I said something along these lines. When there's a calling on your life, there is a purpose. And when you live to that purpose, I just had some friends that come down from some part of California the other day, and what they said was, we wish that you would come to California because that's an area where you could be appreciated. That's an area where we feel that you could do a lot of good. We know where your heart is. But I had to say to her that my call is here. My fight is here. I have to make this place better, and I got to give it all I got. And at the end of the day, when the legacy is proclaimed, it would read that we made this place a little bit better than we found it. So I have no desire to move because I can actually see improvement. I know we've had an hour or so of session of conversation here, and it sounds like a lot of doom and gloom, or it sounds like wow, you know, how, and we haven't even told you half of it. You haven't heard half of what is going on here. But at the same time, if you are looking through the eyes that we're able to look, you can see, well, number one, there is a black mayor here. And that says to our youth that that they can aspire to be a mayor should they decide. We appointed our first black fire co-chief, assistant chief. That little steps like that where some folk may consider, you know, that's not a real big deal. It's certainly not worth all of the hell that you're having to pay. But I told a white lady who stopped at my house one day and said, "Is that your grandson?" And I said, "Yes, it is." And she asked that same question: how do you continue to put up with this? We know that you're right, but we can't see anything to help you. I listened to her, and I know that she represents quite a few of those out there who would like to step up. But I said to her, "I'd do it if they threatened my life, if I should have to give my life for the cause, for what I was called to do. This is why I stay, and I have no choice. I have no choice. Now you have a choice as to whether or not you are here on August 26th. You, all the listeners out there who are listening to my voice, you have a choice as to whether you go to the GoFund to help us to offset some of these expenses. And I'm just trusting and hoping that the right folk were here, the right folk are on the airway tonight, are listening as we speak, and will step up and say, you know what, I can do that. I can do that."
Okay.
All right, very good, Mayor. I appreciate that. Brother Maurice, if you're still on, I know you're a great organizer also, and so on the 26th, we're going to try to organize a group to go down, not just a group, some groups, to go down and to fill that courthouse up. So if you're still on, Brother Maurice, hopefully you can join in with us.
Yes, sir, I'll be there.
Okay, that's how we do it on Black Nation Task Force. All right, we got another caller coming in. That's the. Oh, go ahead, Nancy.
I was just going to say, Mr. Thompson, I'll get a press release together, and I see your email and phone number, so I'll contact you and run that by you first. And if you're interested in talking to maybe some major media people.
No doubt. That's where we are right now. It's been unfortunate because we haven't had a lot of resources or people, you know, that's really organized and sitting down with us. But as we move into different phases, and we're in the phase right now of exposure, trying to get as much exposure as we can. In the morning, I think I'm on 88.1 Tony Brown, Eyes Open, and anywhere we can get this out is what we're trying to do now. And if you can help us to get into main media. We have received calls now from the West Coast out there with some of those folk out there on the West Coast, some of those entertainers that's really plugging in. So that's where we are now. So anywhere you can tell me to be, that's where I am.
Okay, I'll do my best.
Okay.
I cannot promise that I'll be there on the 26th.
Yes, ma'am.
But I'll definitely do my part.
I appreciate it. I look forward to hopefully meeting you guys at some point.
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
We got more callers coming in. Look like we got some calls coming out of Washington. Let's take these callers coming out of the 202 area code, 735, yo.
Oh, yes. This is Dr. Millier. How are you doing, Brother Drewett?
Hey, Doctor.
I'm doing fine. How you doing, sir?
Doing great. Mayor, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Good to hear from you again.
Good to hear from you all, you both. And I'm happy about the show. I've been listening to it and trying to get the business of the day behind me, so I can definitely be in full swing and full support. We're going to be there, and we intend to rally the attention and the media behind you and what you're doing, and let us say that we understand exactly what's going on, both politically, socially, and economically. There's an anger about the breast group of those who really doesn't or don't understand how true democracy works. Would care less to understand how true democracy works. And we know that this is an all-out attack. It's very unfortunate the time of it is unfortunate, but it is centered around everything that's happening in the country. Now, we do know that these things, what you're going through, have been the attacks of others in position of Louisiana and many of the southern states and also the northern states. But this is a backlash behind what the blacks did for Barack Obama, first of all. And it's time for us to know that we are a nominable power. We are exercising our power, and overwhelmingly, we had millions of blacks to go to the poll that had ever been to the poll before, and now we're keeping up this steady pace. So the first thing is that Louisiana, Jonesboro, Louisiana, is a force to be reckoned with, because you have brothers and sisters that are there, that are tentative, and would like to see that change. That's the first thing. And so we are going to appeal to the blacks, first of all. That's our first duty, to appeal to the blacks. Now, we want to appeal to all. We're going to appeal to all individuals. But we want to appeal to the blacks, first of all, to let them know about the power that they have. And we're going to be there, definitely going to be there. And we want to make it there also prior to the court case. We want to make it there prior to the court case. And we want to come there during the court case, and the whole purpose is to apply pressure. We want to apply pressure. We've got to protect our leaders, and you are one of our leaders that's doing a great job, doing a very great job. So we definitely want to do that, and I would be remiss if I didn't thank Brother Drew X for the work that he's done. And I'm going to say this. A lot of people probably don't know it, but Brother Drew X brought me into the fold. I think about, 4 years now, Drew, is that right?
Yes, sir. I mean, well, you've been doing great. You done took off on your own. You ain't in the nest no more. You flying there. You like an eagle now.
Well, you're a good leader, and good training, and I was just happy about Texas. Texas came to embrace Arkansas and Washington and New York and Ohio. Every place that we've opened up a chapter, we've had Texas there, and we've galvanized them. It's just support. Mayor, I want to tell you that to keep your head up, and we intend to appeal to the other side of what's going on. This, we know, is very racist. We know that. We know that we're dealing with racism. We understand that. But more than that, interdisciplinary focus of our social analyzation is that the blacks have become aware of their power to vote. We've got to keep that power there. We've got to keep that power there. And here's another thing. We intend, and I know that many of the other leaders have been talking about it. It's something that the Black Nationalist organizations have been working on for a long time. We're pushing the Independent Party. Because one thing that we see, which is a problem, is that we haven't seen much protection of our black leaders from the Republican or the Democrat. So what we've got to do now is galvanize a sure win to keep you in places and others in places where we know they belong, and to push the Independent Party to push voters' registration. And they're trying to literally kill the mood, but we've got to get down there to reestablish the mood, and then after that, we've got to get down there to apply some pressure to the courtroom. We've got to pack the courtroom out, and we've got to make it a day to remember. We've got to literally pack it out. And so what I'm insisting or asking or requesting is that we can meet prior to the court case. Is that possible?
Yes, it is. As a matter of fact, I'll be meeting with some individuals that you and I talked about the other day to make sure that the buildings are available. To get a date that we can shoot out on Facebook and every other social media avenue that we have to work with. And I'm learning from you guys. You're telling me what we should do, and I am grasping and trying to work to make those things happen. So, yes, we intend to have a meeting before the court date, and we intend to have a rally. And then from there to, as you say, pack that court house and the court lawn out.
Oh, yes, pack it out. And so we can do that. We need to do it the day prior. We can do it the day prior to the court case. Then the following day we got the court case, and the momentum is still going.
Mm-hmm.
And we can pack the place out. And I've already organized support from Ohio, Washington, And, of course, we have Brother Duex. He's in Texas. We've got Arkansas. So we've organized the support, organized the media, and the Southwest media, even Fox News, where we know to get the word out. Of course, it won't be perfect once it's out. But nonetheless, there's no bad news in news.
Yeah,
because
right.
We definitely want to get the word out and center around it and also make the stand. And also, we're talking about Stand Your Ground Law. And want our individuals, our boys and girls, to understand how that affects us and how it encompasses what we're doing and how it works along with us, but it encompasses us if we don't explain to them their right to bear arms. And that's
right.
Something that we have to explain.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So we've got to talk about that. And that's going to be one of the major issues. And, you know, it is a major campaign issue. But if we can show, which Indiana is not new to independent party. This is nothing new to Indiana. And if we can do that, push that independent party and have make sure that it is established and make our formal complaint, because I don't believe the Democratic Party has did anything. To protect you or in your favor, and I think that's foolish. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
All right, hold on. Stand by real quick, Brother Doc. We've got another caller coming out of the 202 area code. Are you on with us?
All right.
202 area code, you on with us?
Oh, yes. I just want to say I'm listening to the show, and I'm enjoying hearing the mayor stand up and talk and be a strong mayor about this the events that's going on.
All right. Well, thank you for calling in and listening. You're going to be able to come down to the rally on August the 26th. If you can't come, do you know some brothers and sisters in the area that can come?
Oh, yes. I'll definitely be there and bring some people with me also.
All right. We sure appreciate that. That's what we have to do to support one another. Got another caller coming in. I believe this area code is... I can't see the area code, but your number starts with a 317. You on with us?
Brother Drew X, peace be unto
hey.
You, brother. This is Brother AC from Chicago, and I've been listening to the show.
Hey, Brother AC.
Yeah, we've spoken before, Brother Drew X. We've spoken on Chef Rob's show, and I've called in
right,
a couple
know,
of times to your show that I've been listening
yes, sir,
to. I've been listening to the plight
yeah,
of your mayor. And, you know, Brother Drew, I mean, I'm obviously, I mean, you know, if you remember, there's no reason
yeah,
that you should, but if you remember, I
yes,
bring
sir.
A different perspective
yes, sir.
To the situation.
Yeah, pardon? Go ahead with it. Go ahead with it. I remember you.
Well, right now all I'm doing is questioning. I mean, I'm questioning the logic of continually trying to change the plight of our people through the same system that has basically oppressed us since its inception, and that is the democratic system. I mean, if we're dealing with the democratic system, as you well know, the bottom line is the majority rules, and the obvious majority is doing everything that they can to extend their rule. Now, as far as the mayor is concerned, you know, I applaud him, I laud him, because from my perspective, what's going on with him is just a microcosm of what's going on to the holder of the highest office in the land and thereby in the world. I mean, it seems to me another set of obstructionist tactics. I mean, the only thing that the mayor doesn't have to worry about is the people in his domain, under his auspice, trying to suggest that he's unauthorized to be mayor because he doesn't live in the area. As our president suffers from. See, you know, I'm sure they're not asking the mayor for his birth certificate or his vita or anything like that, like they're doing our president. But obviously they're using the same tactics. Mayor, are they asking you if you are truly a citizen of your city?
No, I
got
past that scrutiny. In light of the fact that I had already been serving here in a public capacity for about 15 years prior to coming to mayor, so I didn't have to deal with that one.
Okay, that's what I'm suggesting. But so obviously you see the comparisons there. So in that respect, you have to be proud of yourself that they're going through the same tactics that they're using on the president to try to oust you from your position. My only concern, and it's been my concern for an extended period of time, for obviously for most of my life, is that can we really affect the type of changes that need to be affected in this system? I mean, that is continually, like I said, since its inception, kept us basically at bay. Can we really operate from within the belly of the beast, if you will? I mean, that's my question. I'm all for whatever possible changes can take place to bring us to that position of equality. It's just, and I'm wondering, can we ever reach that position of equality within this system?
Well, I do believe that we can operate, but we have to have the right type of people in control. People that want to do the righteous thing, like the mayor that's on with us. So we can't operate if we get the right people, because any nation has to have a government, and we have to start right now. If we don't ever have one, we better start now, participating and learning how things go, Brother AC.
Okay, I understand what you're saying, and my only concern about that is, I mean, in the democratic process, the rule is the majority rules. Now, if this majority was fair, I mean, if this majority was, you know, truly Christian, you know, following all of the tenets, then this majority rule wouldn't be a problem. I mean, and it's so, the thing that concerns me most in this country, I mean, I just don't understand, I mean, why they seem to find it so difficult to allow people who are actually considered citizens of this country to benefit from the largesse that this country has to offer. I don't understand why they don't realize that if all people who wanted a job had a job, what that would do to what they claim is a failing economy. I mean, obviously it's failing for us, and justice obviously is not failing for them. So what would the problem, I mean, by my way of thinking, if you gave every person in the United States who wanted a job, the businesses that have been thriving on this misery would even do better, and it would be, you know, it would be a better situation for everyone involved. And I'm just not understanding what's the problem with treating people who have truly earned their citizenship in this country. I mean, truly. I mean, because black people have been fighting in their wars. I mean, we served as the basis for their economy. We've given our services for free, against our will, but for free, to this country, and we're still not considered, you know, complete citizens. So why would it be a beneficial thing? Yeah, go ahead.
Mayor, address your questions. Go ahead, Mayor. You want to address any of the issues you heard?
I tell you, I heard a lot of good comments and points that he brought out, and I think the one that sticks with me the most is can we actually survive in this democratic society? We have when we talk about democracy, we actually can't rule out the fact that we're talking about a system of capitalism. And if in the system of capitalism, if we understand that it was never really designed to be fair, it was never designed to offer equal opportunity. The tenets of the Constitution and those who wrote, they wrote a really nice document. But we know that there were a lot of us who were not included, were never meant to be. And if that had been the case, then there would not have been the need for amendments that we've had to try to amend. I often tell folk that, I don't know if it's just me, but when we talk about even a people having a right to vote for the system, for the democratic system to have to redress or to revisit whether or not a Voters' Rights Act it's going to be something that we're going to continue to have. I don't know of any other people other than the black people that have an act that has to be revisited. And I don't know why the people who are in position have not really addressed that issue. But it was never really meant for us to all. It's a system of greed that's built in for the wealthy. And I think a lot of times when they play the racism thing to make sure that we are all fighting against each other, we missed the point. So we have to become smarter. I heard Brother Maurice talking about the idea of the independent party. See, this is thinking outside of the box, but it's a good school of thought. Are we willing to do something different? because I heard somebody else say earlier that if we continue to do the same thing and with the expectation of getting different results, and of course that's a sign of insanity as well. So what are we going to do different? I'll tell you, I have to become a part of this group. I'm excited about just listening to some of the ideas that we have there, because what I have done here in Jonesboro is that I have educated the voters for years and years and made sure that they wanted to be a part of the process and made sure that they understood the value that they brought to the table by coming to vote. That's why even after 3 years of keeping me on the TV, 3 years of having me on the news every week in a negative light, that we were able to come back, not only come back to compete, but come back and win a seat for the second time, because it's not necessarily about those parties that's going to support us, make us better, make us win. It's about the education of our people. So as long as we can continue to educate them, keep them on that voting trend, as President Barack has now sort of do across the country, and I think the real fear is that those folk who have been in position and in power are now coming to the realization that they are losing that power. So when Brother AC, I think his name was talking about the position of the majority, the problem that they have is that who is becoming the majority? Because it appears now that they are becoming, those folk are becoming the minority, and in order to try somehow in an act of desperation to keep their footing, they'll do anything to make that happen. So I'm just enjoying the information that I'm receiving from you guys out there.
Oh, okay, well, thank you, man. We got a lot of people trying to get in with us. The caller lines are pretty full in Texas, and in the chat they want to get in with us. We got another caller that happened to got in with us. Let's take this caller right here. I think it's the same area code coming out of Chicago, 768 Joe.
Oh, hello. How are you?
Hey, how
can
you doing?
Can you hear me?
Yes,
sorry,
I can.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I hear you
can
fine.
Can you hear me? Islam.
Yes. Islam,
can you hear
go
me
ahead.
Okay? Yes, okay. You know what? I just really want to, I was reading last night and I pulled up a scripture and it said, you know, it is not a time of integration into which is doomed. So, again, the scriptures clearly say in the book of Revelations, chapter 18, verse 4 and 5, come out of her, my people, that you may not be partakers of her sins and plagues, for her sins have reached unto heaven. This is the time and what must be done. So, again, I pulled that up because I was reading last night, and this came to me. We're talking right now kind of about the law. And according to the United States Constitution, we are not even considered human beings, as we know. You know, we're three-fifths.
Right.
We don't have a
right.
nationality, and we don't have a religion. You know, I keep looking at Samson, and Samson was chasing Delilah, which means desire. He was chasing something that didn't belong to him. And whenever you're chasing something that doesn't belong to you, you're always going to get conquered. So I keep looking at our situation and saying, why is it that we are not coming out of it? Of course there's economic castration. Of course there's lack of education. And, of course, those are the primary things that are affecting our jobs and our justice. But at the same time, we are chasing a system that doesn't belong to us. The United States was never set up for our people. That's why the Constitution was not applicable in the Trayvon Martin case. The judge said it wasn't applicable. That's why your right to vote at the federal level, the Supreme Court could say that it's unconstitutional because it's a human right, not a civil right. Civil right is granted through the Constitution. A human right is an unalienable right that no one can take away from you. So my thing is, why do we continue to try to chase something that was never set up for us? That's their government. Again, if we were ruled by love, truth, peace, freedom, and justice, we're going to have to come back to our natural selves before we even get any type of respect, from any group of people.
All right, let's see if the mayor. Oh, sorry. Hold on just a second, sister. Go ahead before the mayor addressed that question. Go ahead. Were you finished?
Yeah.
So I guess really my question is, why are we continuing to try to chase something that does not belong to us? And each time we're getting slaughtered. And I just believe that this time around when we get slaughtered, if we get slaughtered, and I'm not hoping that we do because I'm going to fight till the end. But again, Why are we chasing a system that is not ours? We're 14th Amendment citizens. We are walking corporations. We don't even have jurisdiction over our own children, and we don't even realize it. And they're coming. I got people calling me on the west side of Chicago saying that they got tanks rolling down the streets, knocking on their doors, telling them to go back in with heat machines on the opposite side of the door. So I'm just waiting for the persons whose last name I am mistakenly carrying to come and knock on my door. I don't know if you all are familiar with what's happening with Michael Jackson right now, but someone has come from England and claimed his estate. His mother can do nothing about it. That's not his name.
So again, let's see if the mayor want to address your question.
I certainly agree with that the caller there. I really do. When I went to graduate school there at Atlanta University, I found out pretty quickly that my name had been put on the I think they call it an FBI list. They monitor whoever enters into that school, because there is a different type of teaching that they would have us not to receive. And those instructors during that period of time were very, very on point with making sure that we understood the reality of what the situation really, really is and was. And when she says that we need to move away from the system, I am certainly not in disagreement. That's why when I say if we sit down and have a summit of our own and try to wake our folk up, because I was just looking at a little note here that's just the Declaration of Independence where we all know the words where it says we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. Well, we know that when that was written, we were not considered a people. We know that when they talked about property, that black man could not even sue anybody. We knew that if somebody raped our wife, that it was not going to be a violation of their law. We understand. So we've been trying to fit into a system that really was never written or created for us. And you find people like myself and others of you out there who, when you see these injustices that are happening and you're trying to figure out a way to fix them, you realize that we are, I think I spoke at the Grambling State University the other day to criminal justice, and we're talking about the fact that we make such a small percentage of the population, maybe about 13 or 14%. But then when you look at the prisons and incarceration of how many brothers are there, brothers and sisters, we're talking about over 50%. That's a problem. So we try to work within the confines while we need to figure out a way that if we're going to step outside, the word also tells us that we can be in the world but not of the world. We don't necessarily have to be a part of the system to find a way to operate within that system to be able to help our brothers and sisters who are caught up in that system. We have a mindset that we have to change. And how do we do it? Because a lot of us are just afraid to sit down and figure it out, talk about things that seem to be outside that make us look like we are different, make us sound like we're different. We are different. Make us look like we're militant. That's what they said about me when I came over to the mayor's office. They said, you can't work with that guy because he's a militant. You know, they give us those designations. They give us those labels. In other words, if you stand for what you believe to be right, while that may not be in agreement with what they want you to think or what they want you to say, then we got a problem. So that caller right there, I hope to see you on August 26th.
All right. That's very good answer. We're getting down to our last 20 minutes, and what we're going to do right now is going to play one more quick song. That'll be the last song before we close out. Then we'll come back with our final comments. This is The Conquering Lion by Lauryn Hill, because we are the Conquering Lions, and we will conquer.
The Conquering Lion shall break every chain. The Conquering Lion. Shall break every chain. Give him the victory again and again, again and again. Give him the victory. Oh, the draw. Your breath never be stained.
Back on this Black Nation Task Force. I'm your host, Brother Drew X, along also with the mayor of Jonesboro, Louisiana, Brother Leslie Thompson, also his attorney, Carol Lexington, is on with us. Also, our spokesman, Nancy Lockhart, is on, and we've got plenty of brothers and sisters. Dr. Maurice is on with us, too, another strong activist. We got plenty of brothers and sisters that have called in, and we thank all of you for calling in. We're down to our last 17 minutes, so what we're going to do right now is see if the mayor has any closing words, and we're going to go to each individual that's on the line that has their hand up and let you have some closing words. Mayor, you have any closing words?
I'll just take a minute so we can allow for others to get in. Before we get out, if the young lady who gave the information on the GoFund would give it again before we close, that'll be very much appreciated. And for anyone who does not like to deal with, as you said, the debit cards and those kind of things, again, our address is 101 Holly Drive, that's H-O-L-L-E-Y, Jonesboro, Louisiana, 71251. I want to say to you, my brother Drew, that I really, really appreciate you allowing me, affording me this opportunity to be able to get the word out. I believe that the right folk will hear. I believe that, you know, we didn't know if this was going to really get the ear of the major listening audience, but we have been talking to rappers, entertainers that have learned about Jonesboro, and one thing that I heard one of the guys on West Coast say the other day, he said, if they're messing with you, then they're messing with us. And it's that attitude, it's that mentality. And sometimes when you are in a small area, small rural area, Louisiana, down south, having to deal with some of the mentality, some of the Willie Lynch type mentality that we, it's hard for us to shake. It's kind of discouraging sometimes to see brothers and sisters that you're fighting for who seem not to quite understand. I heard Doctor on the closing note, I heard Dr. King say on a speech the other day, he said something like this. He said, I live with the with the knowledge that that I could be assassinated every day. He said, but that doesn't bother me nearly as much as those of my own brothers and sisters who seem not to understand what it is that we're doing and why it is that we're doing it. Because when it's for them, it's for us that we are fighting for to try to promote our cause, and there's a lack of understanding where you catch grief from that sector, it's hardening. But to listen tonight, to hear brothers and sisters out there who have given us words of encouragement, I tell you, you just don't know. Even if for some reason you happen not to be able to come to Jonesboro, you've done a lot tonight to forward promote our cause because you really helped us feel good. And thank you for that.
All right. We thank you for that, Mayor. And it's our pleasure to represent, once again, I say to represent the ones who represent our brothers and sisters in a righteous way. It's our pleasure to stand with you because we know what can happen to you can happen to us. If we don't stand and take a stand in a stand of unison, we all will fall. A house divided will fall. So one thing we will do, we're going to stand with our brothers who are standing on the righteous and in truth and are serving to the people. So it's our pleasure, Mayor.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Sister Kerr, you have any closing? I say closing, where I'm thinking of you as attorney. You have any closing statements?
Sure. I'd like to thank you, too, for having us on, and I'd like to encourage all the people that can to come down to support the mayor and to support us on August the 26th because the fight is on, and we will be prepared for it. And we hope by the grace of God that we shall be successful with it.
All right. And we thank you, too, for all the work you're doing from the Gina 6 and all other movements. We appreciate you also, sister.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Sister Nancy, you have any closing words?
Yes, I'd like to give out the GoFundMe link again. That's GoFundMe.com/38ly8k. GoFundMe.com/38ly8k. And I just tweeted it and posted to Facebook, Google Plus, and everything. So hopefully we'll see an increase. I would like to ask everybody to stay tuned and look at the Black Nation Task Force Facebook page for campaigns. I kind of think we'll need to have some calling campaigns to media. And just stay tuned and please participate because there's just so much power in numbers.
That's right.
That's
we appreciate
it.
You also, Sister Nancy, for all your hard work and that you do. We appreciate that. All right, let's see the next caller. Just a second. Get to the next caller that's on here. Dr. Maurice, you have any closing word, brother?
Oh, yes. I'm just saying to keep your head up, be encouraged. I want to thank the attorney. I want to thank Brother Drew X, you and your associate for social affairs and media. And Mayor, just again, keep your head up. We did some work in Gina 6 to galvanize the same people, and we know what it's going to take, and we're going to push it to make it successful. And every other meeting after that we have to have, we're going to be pushing to make it successful. And you have one of the attorneys, I think that she done a great job doing Gina, the Gina situation. And you got some people that know what it's about, that are concerned with what's going on, that understand in order to progress to a state of separation, we've got to still have some working units. But organization is going on. And I want to say this, the rules beyond hypocrisy, the rules for delegation in a democratic society are perfect. It's the individuals that are implementing those rules that are not. And so we intend to keep the rules forward and to keep organization the proper way and to have an expected outcome. And we're going to do that. We know the beast, again, is racism. We know that it's not intended for us, but eternal and natural rights through social contract is intended for us. And that's what we intend to push, that it be a benefit for you. And amid that, it goes to your voters' registration and understanding the process and understanding the power of numbers and individuals to support you. And we're going to keep pushing the mass. I'll definitely be there. We intend to address in a waiting crowd, and we're going to be pushing on Facebook, media, and every other place to get down there, doing what it takes to get the attention on this situation and to also make sure that the outcome is one that we can all be satisfied with and, most importantly, that you can be satisfied with.
All right. Thank you, Doc. Appreciate you all the time. Strong, strong representative. Appreciate you, brother.
All right, brother.
All right. Let's go back. I think this is Brother AC line here. Brother AC, you back on with us?
Yeah, I'm still here, brother. Brother Drew X, and as always, you know, peace be unto you, brother. My only regret at this point in time is I came so late to your show. I truly believe that it was, you know, enforcing everything that I'm about as far as my people are concerned. I think the message is strong. I think some ideas were given, and As far as the mayor is concerned, Brother Mayor, if it is your will, grow old and gray running the administration of Jonesboro down in Louisiana. You have people behind you, as you obviously know. As far as this Constitution thing is concerned, like, why don't we just go on and rewrite it? I mean, the brother said that all of the rules were fine. Let's rewrite it so that this belief that it only applies to a certain group in this country is dispelled once and for all, and let this country know that the Constitution at this point in time is meant for everyone that calls himself an American citizen. Brother Drew, hurry up and get back on the air so these conversations can continue.
All right. Appreciate you, Brother AC. All right. Let's go back to the sister that was calling out of Chicago also. Give you a few closing words, sister. And I did understand your comment, too, because this is we under the impression that this is a democracy country, but it's always been a republic. It's not a parliament. That's British. That's a republic. I don't even know why they have a democratic independent. I don't even know where that comes from. It's always been a republic. Go ahead, sister. You have the closing words. Phone might be on mute. I'm not sure. All right. Maybe she's not left. Let's go back to Brother Aki. You have any closing words, Aki?
Yeah. I think one of the things that we should definitely be fighting for is our sovereignty. You know, as a people, to where we can get away from being up under the control, up under the rule of the system, like what the sister was saying earlier about, you know, fighting for something that's not ours, that wasn't for us. I think, you know, that was real important to that she brought that up, because I think that's really one of the things that we should be fighting for is sovereignty, whether it be in Africa or over here, because, you know what I'm saying, it'll be another decade or more going to these people and beating on their walls to try to get them to act right and do this and that. And, you know, so,
yeah.
You know, so personally, I'm ready for some action that, you know what I'm saying, that's really going, like, I want to fight for our independence.
Right. You know, that I'm glad you said that, Brother Aki, because on the 26th, you know, we need some voices down there in Louisiana, so see if you can put that on your calendar, Brother Aki, on the 26th, where we can, the vocal voices that we've been doing, the vocal voices that you want to do, hey, on the 26th,
right,
you get your opportunity.
Okay.
All right, so put that on your calendar.
All right, my brother.
We're going to ride down there. All right, y'all, this has been a good program. We're down to our last few minutes, and like we said, we'd like to thank Brother Devin Flowers for setting up this event, the councilman also down there in Jonesboro. We will be down there to help represent, you know what I'm saying, if we have to even bring a chapter down there when the racists show their face, hey, we don't have no problem with that neither. We can be on the grounds to do the voices and say the things that y'all can't say. Hey, we can do that too. If you're not, we're not going to have any peace. You're not going to let us live right. You're going to threaten our lives, and we have to make some changes. So we have to have brothers on the ground in the city keeping up some, ain't going to say no mess, but letting you know that we're there, then we can do that too. Whatever it takes to get some respect in this world, we're willing to do that. All right, and we appreciate, like I said, we appreciate everybody that came out with us. You know, this is Black Nation Task Force. We champions, you champions. Don't go that way, champions.
The champ is here! The champ is here! The champ is here! The champ is here!
Thank everybody for calling in. With the lines were so full, man, we couldn't get everybody in. Had brothers and sisters in the chat room. They was chatting, telling me they're trying to get in. I didn't want to hang nobody up. They didn't want to do that. But, you know, everybody came out to support you, man. The lines was full, and we had to let a few people hang up just to get some other ones in. So we appreciate all your brothers and sisters, and we will be back on, and we will be pushing this case real hard. Oh, yeah. I like a good fight. say Black Power, y'all the champions.
The champ is here! 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 The champ is here!
Yeah, Jeff.